Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That went well. Let me guess. You're going to rewrite his stinky old article and save his butt, just like you always do.
Well, it is my job.
You could tell him where to put it.
I'm not telling him anything. Amber, we're junior editors, not writers.
How else am I supposed to become a real journalist?
You'll get there.
It's totally unfair.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to FilmSack. FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 494. Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by Brian, that time he lied about being a tutor in the mansion Dunaway.
Just the one time? Why, I just love the tutors. Oh, you said tutor.
Ah.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You have reached the palace of Mandovia. How may I help you? Ah, I do believe you have mistaken us for Aldovia. Yes, if you are looking to fulfill your fairy tale dream of marrying a prince by Christmas, you will need to contact them there. Hold on, I think I have their number. What's that? Any single and ready to mingle royalty in Mandovia? No, I'm afraid not. We have two kings and they are happily married to one another. Well, what kind of question is that? How would I know if they're gay? Look, lady, I just answered the phones around here because I lost to every other man at the arm wrestle for a job fair last summer. Alas, I have no upper body strength. Well, I have enough to lift the receiver of this phone and hopefully enough to wipe away my tears every night, but nothing more. Anywho, I probably shouldn't even be talking to you. They banned women from the man land long ago after the men folk ran Queen Mary out of town for her all Hallmark Channel all the time decree. And now for something really masculine, Randy.
Oh, I picked the wrong time to drink that water. Just about hooked it right up. Nicely done.
That's good one.
Also with us, Randy, never fall off your stupid horse in the stupid forest with stupid wolves around, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. And just who do you think you are? I've never seen you before, and I don't know you, and I don't know of any reason you should be here in this palace where I'm literally employed to protect the security of my country's leadership. But no, don't say another word. I'm going to provide you with your identity, as we always do here in Troplandia. And then, if I'm wrong, you'll tell me, and I'll guess again, rather than have you show me some ID. This might take a while. So I'll get you a room to stay in here in the palace. We have dozens of bedrooms, but most of them are occupied by people we identified and stored here like yourself. You're going to do just fine in the palace, as long as you follow our three most important rules. Number one, mind your wardrobe. I'm sure that backpack you're wearing doesn't have everything you'll need to wear while you stay with us. So number two, mind your wardrobe. We're going to be horseback riding in the forest tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. sharp, so you better visit the palace sporting goods store. It's on lower level 3 between the dress gown store and the jeweler who resizes tiaras. Number three, mind your wardrobe. You're only going to need one pair of Converse Chuck Taylor low tops to travel internationally in the winter, so they must be appropriate for all other occasions.
Wow. Three steps to success is what that sounded like to me.
That's right.
with us finally. Brian, if you make out in the middle of a snow-packed street, you're going to get hit, Ibbot.
Well, thank you for that warm introduction, Bill. And may I say that it's really an honor to be here with you all in this conference room at the Netflix Creative Offices. 8 weeks ago, you gave an opportunity of a lifetime to a writer fresh out of college, a writer tasked with developing an original holiday movie for your streaming service. And I'm happy to say I've developed the story for a film that's destined to become a holiday classic that subscribers will want to watch year after year. And that film is called Christmas Prince. Prince. It tells a story of a prince around Christmas. He's a prince of a country called Aldovia. And there's a woman, too. She's a plucky writer from Chicago. I will work that one out. And they fall in love, even though they're from two different worlds. And his country looks like a Renaissance festival in a Cabela's parking lot. Anyway, there's a mean cousin who also wants the throne. And horseback riding. Yes, lots of horseback riding. I've got it all written down on these pieces of paper right here. And these are definitely not my 13-year-old daughter's assignment for her creative writing class. Oh, my God. So much horseback riding.
They got to fill that hour and a half with something, man. They got to.
That was a deep dig for Karen Shaler. Is that who you're referring to? Emmy-winning writer.
Is she won Emmys?
Huh? Of three Emmys. Three-time Emmy Award-winning storyteller. Screenwriter, producer, author, and national TV host.
But for what? What are these Emmys for?
Five original films from Netflix, Hallmark, and Lifetime.
Okay, what are the Emmys, though? Tell me the Emmys. For what did she win? Well, you know?
But before we get to the Emmys, can I say, like, if you go to her IMDb page, for A Christmas Prince, Rediscovering Christmas, Christmas Camp, and Every Day is Christmas.
Wow.
She's got a type, so it's all right.
Yeah. Is it, though? Is it all right? I don't know.
It is okay.
I don't know. I feel like I feel an egregious error has occurred in the world.
In 2007, Karen was the first TV journalist ever embedded with a combat Apache helicopter unit in Afghanistan, where she wrote, executive produced, and hosted an Emmy Award-winning one-hour TV documentary that aired on ABC. So suck it!
Is that the Arizonans in Afghanistan, or is it World Away, Utahns in Bosnia?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like she's got two.
Bosnia. Her nickname is Christmas Karen. You gotta love her.
It is funny, though. How do you go from... Because her first two things are Utahns in Bosnia and Arizonans in Afghanistan. I can't wait for Coloradoans in...
Chad. I'm always really glad when a writer went from journalist to fiction and not the other way around. I find out that a journalist... Yeah, yeah. Whenever it's like Scott Adams.
I used to write stuff for TV.
You're a fiction writer. You just stay there.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your take on what's going on in the world.
That flows only one way, right, Randy? Because going from fiction to fact is a little tougher.
But with all this experience, like going to these other countries, what she came up with is Albonia. What is it called?
Albonia. Not Albonia.
So I wrote out for myself this entire
Aldovia.
Okay. I wrote up this entire backstory for Aldovia for myself because I needed to explain a lot of weird things about this country. Okay. You know, like it's very small. Everyone speaks English with a vaguely English accent, including our lead's dad back in New York.
He had a hard time, that dude. He's
struggling
a British,
so hard.
And he's a British actor known for some stuff I really like. Like he's in some cool stuff. Let's see, his name is Daniel Fathers. Great name. Plus he's a dad in here, so that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense. Yeah. What other choice did he have?
Like typecast.
I decided that Aldovia was wedged between the Netherlands and Denmark. It was a very small island country. And it was part of the Commonwealth, which explains a lot. Mm-hmm. But England just forgot about it. And it's one of those that where they were like when they were pulling back the empire, they just forgot about Aldovia.
It was really easy to forget. Yeah, I was like, oh,
one of those snowy island countries that you never want to visit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 right, and right. And it has this, it has a lot of Bavarian roots, as you can yeah. see in the exteriors. Yeah. And like, I actually, my great grandmother was born on a German island, and then immigrated.
Are you a prince?
Yeah,
yeah. I actually, I'm seriously like,
what you doing for Christmas?
Yeah. I am not anything like a prince, but I love that part of the world. I just like, I you know, so I was just like, kind of filling in the gaps because, boy, does this movie have them?
Oh, this thing's got all kinds of gaps. But is that you touched on a thing. So let's okay. So The Christmas Prince is the name of the movie. We haven't said it yet. It's on Netflix. Yeah. It's a Netflix original. I feel like I've been duped. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Really?
here's what I like about. Okay, so we all like Gotham City. You know, that's cool. We kind of like sure. you know Metropolis. Mm-hmm. So DC does this with their stuff. It's all fake cities, but they're roughly you know built around stuff that's
except
real.
Except for Stan Lee's, like, bump that. Spider-Man lives in New York.
Yeah,
shut
exactly.
up.
Marvel doesn't, mm-hmm. don't care. They're like, this is all real cities, right. And I admire things about both approaches, but. This thing is just needlessly in a place that doesn't exist when all they're trying to do is say, hey, what if this was Britain and this was like the royal family? Why don't you just do that? Why don't you just have a fake Britain? And
because just say, you got to be able to make up the rules.
Right.
If you have this in Britain, do you have the queen, the same queen? Do you crumb up the new queen because you're going to have a different prince? You can't have her like kicking Kate out of the way and snuggling in on one of the brothers. So you got to, you know, you basically have to come up with some sort of either a country that people don't care about,
yeah, right,
haven't
right.
done any research on, like, right. oh, this could be Monaco. Sure, I believe it. It's Monaco.
Yeah.
Or you come up with something completely fictional, but you can't.
That's a really good point, actually, and I'm glad you clarified, because that's okay. So here's two problems with it. They built mm-hmm. a place that has no place. It doesn't actually exist,
sure.
but it also didn't feel like it existed. When they were doing like the swearing in thing, that should be a giant cathedral filled with tons of like close to the court sort of people. And then a million, you know, millions of adoring citizens outside to give me the feeling that a coronation would actually give you. Instead,
right.
we had 2017 social distancing of about 20 people in a weird amphitheater.
Yeah.
Like all that right. stuff was so like, it felt so out of place and not like there was any consequence
and
to the proceedings.
Well, how big do we think Aldovia is? Because you never hear of any cities in Aldovia. Aldovia just happens to be the country and the name of this little village
and
with, right. With wreath tossing and
apparently an international airport that's served by United Airlines. Right. So it's not that small.
Right. right. That
they
stuff
have,
just
they
feels...
have like 100 residents, but 50 of them are orphans.
Oh,
it's so,
yeah.
It's so loosely packed together. Like it's just such a like a throwaway. It's yeah. like the filmmakers are like, we just need to have the impression that there's royalty here. Okay, we're done. Move on. Like, and that's all they cared about.
It's an right. interesting way because there was a lot that was designed for the characters that are never even discussed at any length at all. I mean, mm-hmm. Both the characters are like, oh, your father died. My mom died. Your mom's name is Martha. My name. So, you know, it's just, there's a lot of that going on. They both hate Christmas or disliking Christmas, but they never really talk about it. They just kind of gloss over it. Yeah. I don't like Christmas. And it's like, oh, why is she not going home like everybody else, at the news organization or the gossip rag? Because she's mad about Christmas. Mm. And so there's a lot of things they did really bring to the forefront in this movie.
Yeah.
And so I was okay with not, I was like, okay, y'all not telling me anything. Y'all gave me more information about spina bifida than you did about the whole land of yeah. Aldovia. So yeah. I'm, it's okay.
Yeah. And okay. I think it is okay. I really do. Like I enjoyed, you know, making up a backstory for myself. I enjoyed poking at the edges of this story, you know, because like right. they're very, very flimsy, but it's okay because ultimately what you're here for is a Christmas movie. And I'd like to talk about what that means and what, whether or not this actually satisfied that, but yes, you're here for a Christmas. It's the word Christmas. Is
now, would we define this as a Christmas movie?
No, I totally wouldn't, because Christmas doesn't play an important part of the film. Like yeah. this is, we talked about
it.
This
absolutely does.
No, it doesn't. Go, let, Ibbot, I'm with you so on this. Go, please be my mouthpiece. Go. I want to hear this.
I mean, we even talked about why Die Hard is a Christmas movie and why Gremlins is not a Christmas movie. Gremlins, the only thing that deals with Christmas is the fact that the Mogwai is a Christmas present, but it could have just as easily been a birthday present. Yeah. This just happens to take place around Christmas, but it's not like there's really anything. Maybe the acorn. So
You feel a little bit robbed because he's not an actual Christmas prince. He's not the prince of Christmas.
Putting the word Christmas in your Christmas movie doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
This is so true, by the way, of every one of these. Now, we got to understand, and this is where let me get to the duping, because I've been duped. Here's the thing. Yeah. I've been duped by a lot of people this week.
The dupage.
It's a serious dupage. One of them came from my wife, who thinks it's hilarious that we watch this, because she watches all that Hallmark stuff, which is, this is absolutely one of those, like 100% top down. One of those. Okay.
Well, the reason we watched it is because
I think it's actually better than those.
The reason we watched it is because everyone says this is better than those. This is supposed to be your entrance into that universe of movies.
They're wrong.
Holy low bar, Batman.
Yeah, yeah. They're wrong because
how did you limbo under that low bar, Batman?
Listen, those.
Are you saying that the Hallmark movies are worse than this? What are they? Are they like. Is it word trope on screen for 90 minutes?
Christmas trope.
I think it's mostly the casting, if you ask me. I think Rose McIver and Ben Lamb actually...
They're okay. They're fine people.
I love Rose McIver. I've enjoyed her in Masters of Sex, enjoyed her.
You really did there. Really
pervy.
Yeah.
I thought she was great in Masters of Sex. I thought she was great in iZombie. So seeing her in this was like, oh, okay, cool. Like she's a known property. And of course we get.
This felt more like a Disney movie than any of those Hallmark films. I was actually waiting for the magic to happen. I was expecting this to be a magical.
These are porn movies without the porn.
That's why I want a
supernatural element would have been so
nice. They're porn movies without the porn. I'm telling you, it's just all of these are this way. They're like the cheesy acting, the bad storylines, all of it. They just cut the porn out. That's the difference.
Okay. The porn version takes place in Albania.
Scott has more to say on I've Been Duped. I just want to underline the definition of a Christmas movie, because Ibbot and I talked about this at length a couple weeks ago.
We did, yes.
There's a pretty easy definition that I think fits most Christmas movies, and that is it's a film that takes place at Christmas time, and also, there's the "and" is really important. This is not "or." It's "and" includes Christmas time based themes that are involved in the characters solving their problems. So, Home Alone is a great example of nailing both of those. It's definitely a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas time. It's about a family going on a Christmas vacation, right? Mm-hmm. But then also they have to come back together. And which is a Christmas theme, right? This theme of family coming together it's really popular in a lot of Christmas movies.
Sure.
This movie, A Christmas Prince, is, yes, definitely at Christmas time. That's why it's named what it is, right? His whole story arc is about him having to make a decision that's going down on Christmas Eve. But they don't actually use the spirit of Christmas for anything in this movie.
No. Nope.
It's like, you're wanting the spirit of Christmas to make an appearance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, okay. So I'm going to say it is a Christmas movie because they are trying to both of them are broken. Both characters are broken in pretty much the same way. Christmas has been ruined for them for years because of the loss of their loved ones. And now they have each other. And going forward, Christmas will be a very special time. So it definitely impacts who the characters become.
So maybe the sequels are more Christmas movie. Maybe those two sequels end up being Christmas movies proper, whereas this one is like all set up and no Christmas, basically. That's what you're saying.
Plus, right. Ben Lamb plays like Christmas music on the piano. Like every time you turn around, it's like, what are you doing now?
Well, he's into it,
but it's irrelevant. Christmas music.
It's irrelevant.
Right, it's irrelevant. That is the key. The Ibbot is right about this. All the Christmas trimmings around this thing, irrelevant to the entire thing. They don't matter. This could take place during Easter. This could happen during a cold.
Name one Easter melody you could play on the piano.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
That's another thing. Like, I agree that
now play on the piano.
The Easter Duke coming to Netflix.
The Easter Duke. Hold on, I take a Thanksgiving Duke every year. Maybe the Easter Duke is
one of the reasons we have so many Christmas movies is because we have so many Christmas songs, and lots of them are in the public domain. This movie uses the Nutcracker extensively, and you know, like you can do that, and so that's why it's easier to make a Christmas movie than say an Easter movie.
Right. You don't have to, none of that music is you don't paying royalties to anybody. You just play it. Right. And the Hallmark Channel stuff is, that's all it is. Like wall to wall arrangements of Christmas music that nobody owns the rights to anymore.
Aren't they almost always like set at Christmas parties? Isn't that like their exclusive thing where it's like, oh, we're having a big Christmas party and so-and-so is having a romantic so-and-so is having a romantic hardship and they're trying and they don't have the Christmas spirit anymore. We got to get them into the loving Christmas spirit. Isn't that the theme of all of them?
I want to disagree with myself on one aspect of all of this, which is they do go to the trouble of decorating an actual Christmas tree in this movie, and they decorate it with a piece of Christmas magic, unbeknownst to them at the time. So there is kind of important. And
and by the way, when that acorn showed up and he pulled that out of the box, I looked at you and I said, "There's something in that acorn."
No way you said that. No way.
Absolutely.
Oh, I believe it.
Tina can completely validate and confirm.
Love it.
I looked at her and I said, "There's something in that acorn."
Yeah, I felt like at the end, I was like, yeah, I should have known that. I mean, I really felt like I should have caught that, but I think I was.
It was too showy, like.
And it was too big.
Right, it was a big, massive ornament. Oh, he wanted to give this to you. He died just before he could give it to you. Oh, there's something in that acorn.
I was so pissed when they had that riddle poem. Oh, I was so pissed.
I know. Riddle poems are the worst. I hate them.
Yeah.
I like how you say poem. Poem.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah. And that's the thing, like Christmas movies. I'm a big fan of Christmas movies. I've seen them all. I seriously like. There's new ones that come out every year. I sit and watch them. Sometimes they're really, really good. There's a new one this year called Jingle Jangle that's really, really good. Mm. I try to rank them, right? Because the next year I'm going to watch Christmas movies again in December, and I want to know. You know, like there's a new one this year called Happiest Season. I watched it once. Oh. I don't need to see it again. It was all right, you know.
Was it the happiest season?
That's the funny thing. The title is so wrong. So, anyway, but I'm watching this movie like any Christmas movie with a thought to the future, and I'm being honest here. I'm gonna watch the sequels. I'm gonna watch the other two Christmas Prince movies.
Hey, Randy, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm on the right hand side of a Christmas Prince 2017 on IMDb, and I noticed there's a related list for IMDb users, and it's called Mediocre Christmas Movies.
Mediocre.
37 titles.
Yes.
Thrill you. Yeah. I gotta check this out. Did you make this?
That's also on my IMDb page for it. But I did not make it.
Yep, I see it right here.
I have it as well.
Such films as Men of Christmas and.
I'm so about watching all of these films. I can't wait to.
Men of Christmas. Yeah.
I don't know if Bad Santa belongs.
Yeah, Bad Santa is one of my top five Christmas movies.
I love Bad Santa. Bad Santa's awesome. What a great
Christmas
movie.
The Cranks and Four Christmases. I actually liked Four Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, okay. It's on my list.
Yeah, that's a dumb list. IMDb, stop it. Go home, you're drunk. But here's the thing.
I also like how you pronounce mediocre.
Yeah, mediocre is amazing. Mediocre. Yeah.
I always get the mediocre when I'm at Black.
I know you don't. You know when it's by itself, it's just the vegetable. Forget it. I want some meat in there. So give me some mediocre.
That restaurant's called Black Eyed Paya, by the way.
Ah, yeah.
Nice.
So back to good the win. Duping of 2020. Here's the thing. Yeah. My wife thinks it's hilarious because she's seen this and knew what I was in for, but didn't say anything. So the dupe number one was her laughing her head off after I was done going, oh my gosh, that was just a Hallmark movie. And she thinks that's hilarious. Okay.
Because
I tease her all the time. That's number one. Number two, I'm half convinced because this was so paint by the numbers, Hallmarky, Christmassy to me. Uh-huh. And this director, by the way, dude's name
Alex
is
Zam.
That guy. He has Alex done. Zam, yeah. He's
two,
done.
It's two, a fake two, name. It's,
two like, M's.
Yeah.
His name is Alakazam. Come on. He made that name up just like you made this movie.
It feels like you're right. But he has done movies such as
Christmas and Evergreen. He did The Christmas Prince, of course. And then before that, Crown for Christmas, which has nothing to do with this movie. A Royal Christmas in 2014, way back.
Hey, the man likes Christmas.
Jingle All the Way 2. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I have not, but I want to.
That was a problem. Tooth Fairy 2 with the cable guy, Larry the Cable Guy. That was terrible. These are all direct-to-video.
This guy may be the best part two director.
Exactly.
I know.
Say, same thing. No, sequel.
Inspector Gadget 2.
The sequel.
As I've said before on this show, I think the movie Beverly Hills Chihuahua is underrated.
Oh, that is a really right. You're right.
And they brought this guy in to make Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, which is better than the original. I'm telling you, I've watched them all.
So it's better than Troop Beverly Hills, the original?
Yeah. I'm taking your word for it. I'm taking your word for it. I'm not watching any of this. But nice one, Dunaway. Nice.
Yeah. Ibbit knows where I'm at.
Yeah.
I know where you're at.
I know where you're at.
Beverly Hills Ninja?
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
Now here's the other duping. I think first of all, I went into this thinking we were gonna get higher brow stuff. It wasn't. It was straight up a Hallmark movie with slightly better actors. Now this is the thing I want to read. It's a review that I found on IMDb from somebody in 2017 named Pamela. And I'm starting to wonder if she's onto something.
It's already down.
Pamela. Oh, I'm already picturing. Pamela's the type to drink hot cocoa out of a mug that she has to hold up with both hands.
Yeah.
She likes cardigans, yep. And she starts decorating for Christmas in October.
You're not wrong. She says
11,
this.
11 cats.
There you go. She says, this has to be satire. It has to be. I can't be convinced otherwise. And in this case, it's amazing. LOL. Just every Hallmark cliche you could possibly think of making fun of those movies and being in every single one of those movies, ha 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 ha. But kind of done perfectly, like better than the Hallmark movies, whilst also making fun of them, ha ha. I was delighted, but if this theory is wrong, alas, that movie would have been a way better movie. So she's convinced it's a satire of those things, and such a good one that no one knows that it is. And now I'm starting to question everything.
There's a possibility, because it is.
That's a good take on it.
Yeah.
So the tropes are so blatant, right? Her best friends back in Chicago.
Oh God.
Are
Chicago York
black and gay, right?
What is that about? Is this 2017? I was like, are we really stepping back to just these two roles for that?
Right. And they're so they're just like, oh well. Yep, let's put a black person and let's put a gay person because we really don't have any in the whole rest of the film. So
I did appreciate that they were always there for her via live stream.
Yeah.
With the clearest camera ever for around the world FaceTiming.
By the way, there's no way that MacBook has those. MacBooks are famous for having really bad webcams. So nice job on faking that out. And also she uses Pages to write up all her stuff, which cracks me up.
Yeah, that was weird.
And she can only type in bullets.
Yep. That was it. It's all outlines. That's her whole job.
Yeah.
And
there were a couple things. Tina and I had to pause and like look at all of her notes. And then we also paused to look at the crappy prices of the diner that her dad owns. How is he staying in business?
He's got such a weird diner. I tried to look at that diner. Too. It's weird.
And it's like his burgers are like $5 for a veggie burger. You can't even get a Whopper for $5.
What was his theme? It was like he has chili and then he's got tacos or hot dogs
and a big sign on the wall that says Mexican food.
Exactly. And I was like, What is this guy's theme?
I felt like it was intended to evoke the Edward Hopper painting, right? Like you're supposed to see this completely empty city, right? And people are inside the diner and you see it from outside looking through the glass and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll be glad to hear that. Go ahead. As I say that,
I realize I'm giving way too much credit to the thoughtfulness of the construction of this film, right? Like why not? Maybe there was somebody that was like, all right, what's this diner going to be? Let's look to Edward Hopper and make it great. You know,
I'm going to hold back on my judgment of this director in this film on the Joel McVeigh gay character, because I noticed that he's in the second and third one. So maybe they explore his character a little bit more.
Yes.
Right.
He didn't come back though. He's available via Twitch as well as FaceTime.
Right, right. Tahira Sharif did not come back for the other two, so I guess she's out.
Oh, is that that's her black friend.
No, I'm wrong. She was in both of those. She just doesn't display it. She just doesn't display it on her IMDb because she has other things to do.
What about Honor Neefsi, the girl who played the Spina Bifida
Boss?
Girl?
No. Oh, Spina Bifida. Oh, she's done some things. Yeah.
Okay.
She's done some things.
Well, no, I know she's done some things. Does she come back for the sequels though?
That's a good question. She should. Let's take a look here. She did. So, this is a very loyal cast.
Okay.
People come back for this. Yeah.
She's,
by the way,
a real disabled or what's the correct term?
Okay,
have a disability. And it was controversial at the time because Netflix is kind of a big platform. And even though this movie is freaking dirt level freaking holiday
channel, that was the representative point that bothered people.
At the time there was a big freak out that she was disabled, and I don't know. Here's what I'll say. I don't know if this is controversial or not, but when someone with a disability when a character with a disability is portrayed by cast who have that disability, it adds authenticity to the project for me. So when I watch something like Breaking Bad and
Walt Jr.
It has actual cerebral palsy. That's cerebral palsy. Same thing. Like Fargo's really good at this. Every season of Fargo, there's somebody with a disability. Like the deaf hitman in the first season is a deaf actor. The bear's son in the second season, it's mostly on his one side, but he has cerebral palsy and portrays it as such. The latest one has I forget what the latest season has. But anyway, I like that they do that because it's not so much about it should be about representation, and I'm glad it exists on that level. But it also adds to me going, legit.
Right. And maybe so I think they probably should just dialed it back and said, okay, if we're not going to be able to invest into an actor who would fit into this role, that maybe we just drop the spine.
I don't know why they needed it, because it was never anything more than just a blatant attempt for us to go, oh, she has a condition.
So we had it was a cheap trick to make that, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe the writer was touched by the idea and wanted it in there because they wanted that representation. They just didn't have an actor who was available or really fit the role. So
that's the problem is we have to make it up. Say we don't know. We have no idea, and I hate that.
But let's give it credit. This movie didn't have any kind of miraculous recovery. It didn't have the character, you know, step way beyond the bounds of their character.
That's what should have been in that acorn. For Spina Bifida.
Right. The serum.
It's a Christmas miracle.
but it was placed in there so that you've got to worry that, okay, she gets coddled by her family. She doesn't get to go out sledding. And Rose McIver gets to bring out that adventurous spirit of the kid so that she gets to experience things that her parents or her mom.
Yeah, it's interesting because it would be hard to do because, I mean, this character has to be angry, but the audience also has to understand. And the only way to really do that is either to give a disability or have a overbearing family. And they wanted to portray this family as just beautiful people, just people that were beautiful inside and out and absolutely right.
Except, you know, except for the
immediate family. Apologies, immediate family only.
Yeah. And I, again, like, I thought Cousin Villain was pretty
effective
bog standard characterization, you know, like,
yeah. I
wasn't,
like, he looks pretty good thing, though.
That's when you can't get Alex Moffat from Saturday Night Live, you get Theo Devaney.
I think he did excellent. He just looks like look at that guy. He's definitely been a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you practice arching your eyebrows in the mirror for a few hours.
Right.
for anything like this.
Yeah, he's your guy for this. He's finally cast, whatever. I still say there were a couple of moments, and I shared a GIF with you guys where at some he's telling the horseman to move on, and he does it with a pointed finger and no voice, and the guy sitting in front never once looked at him. He just did it, and I'm like, there's an android driving that thing.
Oh, I hear the movement of my master's elbow. Yeah. It is time for us to depart.
Yeah, that undeniable popping sound means time to move forward.
Can I tell you who I thought was the worst person in this?
Yeah,
please. Like evilness or just bad acting?
Bad acting.
Okay,
bad acting. Go ahead.
Max, her boss at the whatever.
Oh my god!
Whatever company she worked for.
The rag now.
Newspaper. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. Like, she's bad. She's real bad.
Just chewed up.
Chewing
the scenery is usually a positive thing. Like, but she like ate the desk and
she pissed on the wall. It was bad. It was
exactly yes.
And thankfully does not return in the sequels. Obviously, she's the boss that you quit on Christmas, or in this case, New Year's Eve or something. She's the boss you quit when they need you most because they're really bad. A total trope, you know. There's no doubt about it. But like, I thought she was pretty good at it. I don't agree that she was bad at the role.
It was just painful to watch her over emote and overact and just basically say, I'm going to be the newspaper equivalent of give me your badge and your gun. You're done here kind of thing.
I think it must be just that she was told to be a cranky American boss or something, because she's British and maybe she's in all sorts of stuff. Like,
she is. She's in that Doc Martin thing that Nicole recommended a couple weeks ago.
I like Doc Martin. So that means I've seen her, and she didn't bother me there because I watched that whole series, but I forgot who she was, I guess.
It raises the question. We've talked about this before. Why didn't they just get some Americans to play the Americans? And like, is it like, this was not during the pandemic they were filming this. This was years ago.
I think they filmed it in Britain. I think they just filmed it in Britain. The budget was low. Everything had to be British actors, because to portray the stuff back in the States, they had to be, you know.
The thing is, they filmed it in Romania. Like, I don't know.
It's also weird, right? Romania?
Yeah.
It's weird.
you can get a castle cheap. Yeah. All you need is 30 minutes of drone footage hovering around the castle at night. And during the day, okay, we're set. We've got our establishing spots for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place, though.
It is.
It's a beautiful place.
See, there's another guy, Joel, the guy we were just talking about, Joel Mc, played Andy. He's a British actor born in Leeds, England. Yeah. Like, none of these people are from here except for Rose MacGyver. Is she British, maybe, and I don't know it?
I think she might be British based on...
real quick here. Oh, New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay.
Okay,
yeah, so she's practically British.
So it's band meeting. Band meeting is where she's from.
She's from band meeting.
Once again, let me just say it. Freaking the New Zealanders and the Aussies, you guys with your perfect American accents. Why are you so good? Yeah. Why are you so good? How is this possible? All these other British people you worked with were, like the guy that played your dad was terrible. He was falling out of that accent constantly. She rocked it. Just rocked it. I don't know how they all do it. Just blows my mind.
Is it because of so much exposure to American movies and TV and the American accent and internet?
Whoops, we cut off Brian Little there. Brian, you there? Dunaway? Hello?
Brian?
Hello? Dunaway? Hello? Dunaway?
Oh, no.
Did we lose
him? He adjusted too much.
Too much adjustment. Have you adjusted yourself? Yeah, we've lost him. Here, hold on. Let me pause. Like, Aussies and New Zealanders see so much TV that they... or American TV, rather, that they're kind of raised on it. And a lot of people have said that. Like, the Hemsworth brothers have all said that one way or another. They're like, oh, yeah, we just... You know, we sat around watching Three's Company. You get good at this.
Chrissy.
Yeah.
And we don't get so much Australian TV and Australian accents that we can work in.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the new Crocodile Dundee movie?
I saw of it.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not watching that on purpose.
No, I watched a trailer this morning on Vudu.
Yeah.
John Cleese. Chevy Chase, Paul Hogan, what?
I mean it's not, but here's the thing, it's not Crocodile Dundee, it's Paul Hogan comes back to America and plays himself, and everyone only knows him as, like, fourth wall, like, you know.
Right, the JCVD.
He's not playing, he's playing the actor who played Paul, or that played Crocodile Dundee.
dealing with probably, people who still think of him as Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, yeah. That's the idea. And maybe that's okay. I don't know, dude. I can't bring myself to spend real American money on it.
It's real too American bad money and time.
It's too bad because when you see him like in the trailer, you're like, oh man, if he would just put on a crocodile tooth hat and be that character, I would be way more interested in this.
You know, you forget how old he was. Older he was during the films and you look at it and you're like, oh, that's right, time passes, and it's like, oh, I'm sad now. Bummer.
Like I'm actually willing to watch it if somebody tells me, actually, you know, at the end of this movie he morphs into Crocodile Dundee the character. I would watch it for that.
I'm gonna watch it
bumps into the actual Crocodile Dundee in an elevator and they fight. I'd watch that.
I'm going to watch it with my mom because my mom loved Crocodile Dundee back in the day. And I think she would get a kick out of this. And I'm going to do that.
That's an interesting thing.
Can we save it for a film sec?
Maybe.
But that's just an interesting thing there, Brian, is who would you watch this movie with? Like there's movies that are in your wheelhouse and movies that really aren't, but you would watch them with specific people. Like Scott was talking about watching A Christmas Prince with Kim. And there are definitely movies that I would never watch, but if I was at my mom's house and I desperately needed to fill the time, I absolutely would watch films that I think she might like. You know?
Sure. Yeah, I could
see
that.
That's a really interesting category.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that you're not going to have any weird, awkward sex scenes or things like that.
Right, exactly. It's
like, oh, well, this looks good on Netflix. Oh, my God, it's half porn.
Nope, it's all porn.
Yeah, all porn. by the way, I just noticed that Luke Hemsworth, the lumpy Hemsworth, is in this Paul Hogan
the
thing.
The lumpy Hemsworth. Yeah. That's not nice.
I
think you need to go back and watch A Christmas Prince again.
No, put those three dudes together. Put the three Hemsworths together. You got really chiseled, handsome dudes, two of them in a row, and then you got Luke. And it's fine. He can be what he is. I liked him in Westworld.
Look,
he's great.
Let me tell you something about chiseledness. It can come and it can go.
Yeah. It never came for him.
It's a temporary situation.
It never came for him, though, is what I'm saying. One day those other two will be nice and lumpy, but Luke Hemsworth, great in Westworld, great in other stuff I've seen him in. Nothing wrong with that dude. Fine actor. He's lumpy. That's all I'm saying. I'm lumpy. I feel a kinship to him because I'm lumpy, you know?
I've been wondering if I'm the only person that really likes Ben Lamb. I feel like he...
Oh, I love Ben Lamb. That's fantastic.
Okay, good. Because I feel like he's got a very limited range, right? His job is to be young and brooding, right? And he does it. Yeah. He does it very, very well.
Yeah.
But like I noticed he was in Divergent. And I was like, oh, yeah, I saw Divergent. I don't remember him specifically, but I think, you know, like he's exactly the kind of person that would be in these kinds of things.
This is not an insult, but he looks like a lot of different. He looks like a lot. He looks like somebody took Photoshop and put together like a whole bunch of different really attractive
actors.
He's
like when those AIs put together faces based on composites.
He looks like totally so many other actors. It's like, oh, he's got the eyes.
Like, oh, there's
Chris Evans, and this guy's got
a little Chris, what's his name? Captain America, Steve Rogers. Can't think of
that's right. Chris, Chris Evans.
There's a little Chris Evans in there, a little mashup of some other faces. You're right. It's like an AI constructed face. Meant to confuse face recognition software or something like that. I will say I really liked him in this. He's a charming, affable guy. He's good looking. He seems like, you know, we're not done with him. We're going to see other stuff with him. But it's also, that poster's not doing him any favors. He actually looks like, if you look at that poster where it's him kind of grinning down at the back of her head, he looks like the dude in Mindhunter.
The younger agent.
Yeah, yes. And when I first saw this, he also plays King Louis in the Hamilton. But anyway, that guy from I'm mixing all my stuff up. But anyway, King George, I looked at that and I first saw it. I went, "Oh, we're gonna see that guy in a Christmas movie." Weird, and it's not that guy. It's a different guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you look up their stats, he's 11 inches taller than Rose McIver. You can really see it in this movie.
I was
so glad they didn't do any tricks. Like, just let it be. Let it be different. You know,
she's tiny. She's a very little tiny person. I can tell just by the doors she would walk up to. I'm like, yeah, that door's normal. Oh, door. Yeah. She's tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And her butt's at a vase level. So
yeah.
Yeah. Vase level. That's your turn. Hammer that trip alert.
Or that vase was at butt level. Maybe it's right.
Yeah. We that deserves a trope alert because everybody breaks stuff when they go to fancy places. That's how it works.
And it's two levels of tropes. There's two tropes combined. One is you're so clumsy, it's adorable. And the other one is we left our expensive, priceless Ming vase sitting on a tiny shelf out in the middle of a doorway where anyone is going to bump into it and murder it. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Randy, thank you for this reminder about this person does not exist. It's a real-time, I saw this back on DTNS a while ago, but it's a real-time face generator that is crazy.
God, weird, amazing. Right? It's crazy. It always freaks you out. It's like, no, this person doesn't exist. But there they are right there. I'm looking at them.
It should make you at the least, not maybe freak out about what we can do, but maybe at least be aware of what we can do. Because I'm looking at a very attractive young woman right now, smiling. Looks like she might bring me brownies for Christmas.
I just generated a Karen. It's weird.
Oh, weird. Well, Karen? You and Karens. Yeah. You know. I wonder if the lady who wrote this movie had a bad year. Her name is Karen. I wonder if she had a rough time. Karen Shaler.
Oh, yeah. 2017. No, that wasn't the year of the Karen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like this year, did she have a bad year this year?
This year, probably.
Yeah. 2017 was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her next film is going to be The Karens. It's going to be good.
She's probably
Meet the
Karens. Dude, someone's going to do that.
I'd watch The Christmas Karen. That would be fantastic. That's like Jingle All the Way, but for 2021.
Well, no, it'd be even more. It would be basically just make a modern day analog of The Christmas Carol, because that's really what you're doing. You're taking Scrooge.
Right.
You will be visited by three managers.
Manager of Christmas present. Oh, my gosh.
I feel like we're uncovering something really interesting here. And that is, what if all of these Christmas movies aren't good because no one wants to try? Like, what if the goal of everybody making yet another Christmas movie is to knock it right down the middle? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You come along and say, hey, I've got some ideas for a Christmas movie that'll be better than the rest. They say, no, you shut up. We want to make a movie that is as good as the rest. And that's why we have this mountain of them.
Yeah. There's a point to that. Like, there's something, so I'm trying to think what my equivalent is, because my wife and I were always having this conversation. She can sit down to 15 of those Hallmark movies and really enjoy it. She loves it. She starts in November and she does it all the way up to Christmas and just loves these things.
November.
Even when they're totally stupid or even exactly like the last one she watched. Like, it's just the same seven ingredients.
Let me tell you what these are like. This is like watching the Sci-Fi Channel all day. For us men.
Okay? I guess so.
It's just one sci-fi show after the next with some weird dude in costume makeup. I mean,
the closest comparison I can think of is I just sort of sit and let King of the Hill run in my life. It just runs at night and whenever it's on. I just love it. And I find it to be comfort food. Maybe that's the equivalent or something. Problem is, she likes that too. So I don't know, man.
I can name a bunch of things like that. You know, like, I promise you, Scott, there's people out there who, and I've talked to them, and it's hard to do, but they hate Seinfeld, hate Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to hate Seinfeld.
No, it's not. I love it.
It's because,
shut up. Oh, yeah, it is. It's true.
I love that show. But
whenever I talk to someone who hates Seinfeld, I always hear the same thing, which is the characters themselves are deplorable. Yeah. They're constantly lying to each other. They don't have any joy. Therefore, that for that audience, it's a complete miss. And there's a whole audience for the show that watches it, you know, like on a loop. Like you can just put it on and it's funny to you. And there's all of these like references that are culturally significant to you. Right. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff. And so like, you just got it. Like it's so obvious when you look at Hallmark Christmas movies, you know, that there's the same sort of thing going on. And the person who emailed us and said, please don't make me watch this, is like that. They are on the outside of the cultural significance of the mountain of tropes that I'm talking about.
Is me. Yeah. I'm that guy. I hate these things. I really, truly, really dislike them. I'm having a blast today. So clearly we made a good decision here for FilmSack, but it's just, they're terrible. they're terrible. Like, they're just, I can't, yeah. I was watching this. I got to a point where he's out shooting arrows with his sister, and I went,
Right.
I'm not watching this in any other context. Like, any other situation, this isn't a thing I'm spending any time in front of except because of Film Sack. And that is true of all those Hallmark things. I can't be there very long. I got
to
get out
of
there.
I think it's really, really important to what you, what side of the film you're looking at in classifying it is terrible. I mean, if you go, hey, are cookies terrible? Absolutely not. Cookies are delicious. Are cookies terrible for your health? Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Right. But I don't like how these cookies taste either. I don't like anything about these
cookies. That's fine.
They smell bad. They smell like a diaper.
Maybe you don't like gingerbread cookies. But you ever
walk in the,
house
and you know your wife's making something amazing, and you walk in the house and you're supposed to smell it and go, oh man, this really brings me back. But instead, it smells like a diaper or somebody's thumb's been up their bum or something weird like that. And you don't know what they're cooking, but it's going to be great when you eat it. But at the time, the cooking part smells terrible. That's how I feel approaching one of these. And then when I actually eat it, I'm like, oh, it tastes like it smelled. Okay, I don't want this anymore. And I can't do it.
I think it's important to look at the history of Christmas movies because there's a trend, right? For decades, for like 50 years of Christmas movies, they were all saccharine, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, all of entertainment started to diversify and it started to let go of concerns about censorship and so on. And we started seeing things like Christmas Vacation. But like, if you go back before that, everything is White Christmas and A Christmas Story and so on. And they're all saccharine. But now, nowadays, you've branched off into these two main paths, right? And there's like one that's
Dark
like,
Christmas.
Right. Be subversive. Be as comic as you can. It's a farce. And then the other one is just maintaining a tradition that goes back 100 years of Christmas movies, you know? And it's like, there's nothing wrong with them. That's the problem. Like, you can't look at these Hallmark films and go, oh, well, they're like bad for the country or something. You know what I mean? Like, they're just doing what Christmas movies have always done.
There's different audiences, and there's probably people who, and you're probably one of them because of what you were saying earlier, watching Christmas movies, you're an audience to both of these. You mm-hmm. want the bad Santas, the office Christmas parties just as much as you want the Miracle on 34th Street remakes and the warm fuzzy Christmas.
Well, and there are
Warm fuzzy Christmas.
And there's some really bad examples of attempts to have a dark Christmas movie. Like, there's a Seth Rogen movie called The Night Before. Mm-hmm. It's bad. Like, it is just bad. And there's also bad examples of trying to be uplifting. Like, Love Actually has not aged well. That movie.
Oh, really?
Like, it tried. It was, maybe it was uplifting 15 years ago, but now.
Mm, wait, which movie? Which
not, one? Love Actually. So what? Oh,
Love
what,
Actually.
What about
I think
it
totally holds up. I love that movie.
What doesn't hold up? Like, I mean, what feels cringy? Is it the dude gender, dreaming of coming to America and being in a snow lodge with five?
So the gender dynamics, right? So like, and it's not just that. It's the creepy stalker guy who shows up outside your door on Christmas
creepy
Eve.
Stalker Rick,
And it's the writer whose wife cheats on him, so he goes and gets a basically sex slave and so on. Like woof, it's that Love Actually has not, the times have changed.
Yeah, I think some of that stuff doesn't hold up in that light, but I think the movie itself, for what it is or what it was, is still one of my favorites. I love that movie.
And you can like watch a Christmas Story, and because it's about that time frame, it will never it will never degrade very much.
Sure,
yeah,
and that's like
period piece. Yeah,
and so like A Christmas Prince, I think maybe it will degrade a bit. Like we'll look back on something like this 40 years from now and go, oh, look at them with their stupid laptops. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Look at their horrible mistreatment of Windows.
Right. No, it's a weird thing. And I'm glad it exists for people. And I'm glad you got your sequels. You know, I mean, this is Netflix claimed in 2017.
Oh, by the way, spoiler on every one of the Christmases movies, because they all go, oh, in this one, it's the wedding. Oh,
yeah, the title's literally
right in the title.
Yeah, right in the title. Oh, she's having a baby in this one. Okay.
But listen to this. Mm-hmm. In 2017, Netflix revealed in a tweet that 53 of its subscribers had watched the film every day over the past 18 days that year when it was released. So 18 days in a row.
Did they do a wellness check in those 53 people?
You should.
I remember I remember Netflix tweeting, "Are you okay?" Really? I remember that. Yeah.
Well, wow. There are like 150. What is it? 100. Where is it? 150 million Netflix subscribers currently, and that's of 2020.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. 53 watch this. Great. That's real trivial trivia.
Just in loop, right? But just in loop. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just think about that. Like if you had. Actually, we should be afraid that they have that data a little bit. Right. Like, they know how many times I have sat
this
and watched.
One guy's watched Mad Max 600 times. Yeah, do you think call the police.
Do you think they get an alert? Or do you think that just on a whim they said, let's see if anybody's watching that Christmas Prince movie.
I think
53 people have watched it for the last 18 days every day.
Yeah, I think somebody gets like some charts and it's probably like, oh, what is that line doing? Holy Moses.
Get somebody who's watched Grey Gardens every day for the last year and a half.
Oh, my God. I want to answer that question, by the way, because I work for a company that logs what its customers do to some degree. And I want you to know, you do not set up alerts on stuff like that because that would take up so much bandwidth and logging space.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I imagine there, you guys probably have data that says one guy, some druid on some server, every day goes to a certain rock in a certain zone and dances on it for 5 minutes and then leaves and just does it because
no,
he has
we don't.
To
we really don't because oh, logging it, the space that it takes to log it is so massive.
I want to know about that, though. I want to know about that guy, that druid.
Yeah, but I want to know what that guy's doing there. I've seen him.
Could you set up that alert, and could you forward the results to Scott?
Yeah, I want to know more about this guy. He does it in bear form. That's the other thing. He's in bear form when he dances. Oh, I can just see it. All right. One other thing we haven't really talked about. We haven't talked about Alex Krieg very often. We will because she's one of our Star Trek connections, probably the biggest one. But I really like her. Her role in Deadwood in particular was something very memorable for me. Right. She's just a great, really interesting actress. But I did a little math. When she was the Borg Queen in 1998's First Contact,
she was a queen there too.
The prince in this movie, her son, who plays the prince Richard, was 9 years old in real life. Uh-huh. Think of that. Okay. Think of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we're all
a Borg Christmas.
I was
prince.
I had just well, let's see. I was out of high school. Let's see. He was born in 89. Yeah, that's weird. I'm like 3 years from getting married. Like, good Lord.
Wow.
He was a baby then. So anyway, Poopy Diapers 89, Alex Krieg's old, everyone's great. Everyone's doing
good. And now he's the desire of all the women except for this lady who didn't really care. Just trying to avoid love.
Yep.
Are we also going to talk about Sarah Douglas?
Remind me.
Our other nerdy connection?
Are we going to talk about her?
Who is that?
Where are we?
She was the stern headmistress woman, the kind of the woman
who
was like angry about everything.
We're going to throw you in the dungeon.
This is V-Lady.
It's not V-Lady. It's Ursa from Superman 2.
But she's also V-Lady though, right?
Yeah, she's V-Lady eats the
No, the that rodent. Was Badler, Laura Bat or Karen Badler, Laura Badler.
Oh, well, it says she was on V. I assumed it was her because her face
she
is familiar.
She might have been V. Yeah.
Okay, you're right. It is Ursa from that's crazy. Yeah.
Didn't even recognize her.
Oh, wow.
Not without Zod there. How was I supposed to know?
Wow. Right?
Exactly. Or none. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Nice deep cut on that. That's fantastic.
Every once in a while, I mean, there was a lot of time in this movie where it's like, oh, let's see what else these people have been in.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way,
watch another movie on my iPad during this.
I'm going to say she slowed down a little bit from 2010 forward, but previous to that, and she still did plenty of work there, but previous to that, she worked a ton, mostly she in did, voice work, tons of voice actor stuff. I did not know any of this. Everything from Babylon 5 to freaking, Batman Beyond, she was a voice in. Who was she?
You know, I've never asked you guys, what do y'all think about Babylon 5?
I love Babylon 5. Well, I did.
Right? I have never seen an episode of Babylon.
I loved it, but I don't know if I would now. It might not.
Is there a Christmas episode we can watch?
Yeah.
I've also never seen an episode of Babylon 5. It felt like it was just too, it was too competitive with Star Trek in my brain, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it literally
I've
was.
I've seen a couple of episodes, and I was like,
That and DS9.
I've always wanted to go back and revisit.
That show was out exactly the same time as DS9. They were absolutely competing because they were both about space stations. And
right.
They, although they weren't, you know, they weren't meant to compete. They just happened to come out. It's like Armageddon and Deep Impact kind of. And I really loved both. And I had no problem with that. I didn't mind the competitiveness that was sort of felt by people. And it's pretty good. It starts slow, but it's good.
Did Kim ever come in and go, oh, it's one of these stupid sci-fi shows that look exactly the same again?
She might have.
Right? She could have, yeah.
She might have. The problem is, see, here's the problem. My wife is not the problem. My wife loves everything. She likes science fiction. She likes nerdy stuff. She'll watch comic book movies. All this stuff is great to her, but she also likes this Hallmark stuff. Me, on the other hand, I just can't stand the Hallmark stuff. Like, I'm not... She'll watch anything with me. If I watch Mad Max for the 50th time, she'll plop down and watch it.
There's got to be something, though. Is there something that she doesn't like? Some show that she's like, I can't watch that.
She couldn't do Breaking Bad. She got as far as Breaking Bad when they had the bathtub acid thing happen.
Second episode or third episode, whatever. Wow, okay.
Really? This is where you draw the line, honey? Yeah,
well, that does surprise me to like, you know, to be okay with Mad Max Fury Road or to be okay with...
like she loves Fargo. Fargo's
to
me, Fargo's a lot like Breaking Bad in terms of just sort of some of the shock factor and stuff. And she loves that. So I don't know what it was about Breaking Bad. She got to that tub thing and went, I just can't do this. I can't do it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. I still think she should go back and rewatch it or get over the tub. That's a tub. Get over the tub.
Oh my God.
So I want to talk about one more actor. His name is Tom Knight. He plays the Prime Minister of Aldovia in this movie, and he has the terribly unenvious role of having to keep coming to the palace to crown the king.
Coronation.
Oh my
God. Anyone has.
Yes, can we do a coronation today? Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Please don't
let me down.
Yeah. And if, oddly enough, he's only 25. It's just that he's so worn out. He looks 60. So.
This guy is just kind of getting started. Like all of his credits are like TV movies and TV miniseries in England.
Oh, interesting.
And now he's starting to make some movies. And I actually thought he was I found him very interesting. I wanted that character more, and I was sad to see that he's not in the sequels to A Christmas Prince. I just want to see him more.
Who, the Tom Knight? Is that the guy?
Tom Knight. Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, he's in Chamber of Secrets? I don't remember that.
You'd think that he'd come back for the Christmas baby to coronate the baby.
Right.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Oh, he's Mr. Granger.
Do they ever have, by the way, I didn't watch any of the, the successions of actual UK monarchy, but do they have the wedding thing where they basically say, if anyone would like to dispute
I think they were really stretching a little bit there because they were going on
because as soon as I place this crown on his head, he will officially be king and nothing can stop it from that point.
I'm honestly, it looked like an old community college amphitheater style classroom.
It totally did.
Just lame.
But somewhere in Romania.
He was Hermione's dad, by the way. That's who he was before.
Oh, right. Really? So there you go.
He's a deadbeat muggle.
A muggle dentist.
Yeah, muggle deadbeat dentist. A muggle dentist. I like that Dunaway called him a deadbeat, like he didn't support his daughter or something like that.
Right.
He just didn't understand, man. All right. I think clips are in order. And they're literally in chronological order as well. So.
Oh, they're actually in order. Yeah. Wow.
We're going to start one off with a hot one. This is a clip. Sent to me via your dad, Ibbett. This is from your dad this time.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He said this was audio of whoever set you up with your prom date. I guess your prom date was a blind date. I didn't know this, or at least one of them was. And so this is your friend you were going with who set you up.
Well, of course. Yeah. I figured they were all blind.
I can only get the blind ones.
Yeah. Right.
So this is what he said to you.
I set you up with one more hot, successful guy who you blow off. I'm going to punch you, girl.
Ouch.
Yeah. You were that one that said ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, that was you.
Rare. But boy, does she look fabulous. I'm sorry. Am I doing it too much?
All right. Something about making chili.
Hey, listen. Christmas Eve. Instead of doing our regular corn dogs, I was thinking maybe I'll make a big batch of my famous five alarm chili. You know, it was your mom's favorite.
Dude, your accent is shit.
Five alarm. Right.
Yeah.
Five alarm. You'll be on the toilet all night on Christmas.
I'm thinking about making some wicked five alarm chili.
Right. You'll be crapping so loud it'll scare Santa right off.
Yeah.
He'll bugger off and when you eat this chili here.
That's the problem. Weird. He can't do both. Here's a selfish jerk thing.
Selfish jerk?
Oh, yeah. She was mad. By the way, it was like immediately, as soon as I saw the guy in the beard, I went, oh, that's the prince.
I know. That's we all did. It's so telegraphed in.
Yeah.
I liked that. Like the way he kind of sneaks past the line and then glances back at her with this huge fake beard. I thought that was a really funny moment.
Okay, but does that blow the setup of like, no, he's really, really a nice guy. Yet he did cut right in line in front of her. And it was to escape the paparazzi. But still, he cut right in line in front of her and like. He's the Aldovian middle finger when he did so.
We're supposed to be finding out that he's this complicated and lonely person, right? Like we're supposed to. It's part of the whole of him, and he does apologize for it afterwards.
He is pretty sorry pretty quick. Here's the Borg Queen talking for the first time.
You'll be starting your lessons right away, Emily.
But it's almost Christmas.
I hope Miss Anderson lasts longer than your previous tutor.
She's a classy actress. I would like her and everything. She could just do whatever. I like her.
Yeah.
She's my favorite part of it. Here's the girl says something and I can't figure it out. So I love playing this game with you guys. You guys try to help me translate this. All right. Okay. So here it is.
Better than lopping off something else. Princess Emily.
All right. That first part. Let's play that again.
Better than lopping off something else,
right? Because she's like going to lop off my head.
Oh. Yeah. I thought I heard the word ass.
Some mess.
I thought I heard ass.
She was referring to his penis, I think, right?
Yes.
And then she said, no,
his ear. Yeah.
That's what we do.
I want to play it knowing that. Hold on.
Better than lopping off something else.
Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Mystery solved. Well done. I thought it was
worse.
Way to
go, Scooby-Doo.
You officially did that line probably more times than she did in the filming of this
movie. Yeah, for sure. And that actress, she's actually pretty good and stuff.
She is good.
Kind of a throwaway role, but whatever. All right. Here's an amazing high five.
Amazing high five.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty
amazing
good.
Amazing high five. What is that?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
It's those moments that made me think this was
so
satire.
So uncouth with this.
Yeah. You Americans with your high five. All right, Borg Queen.
I'm not touching your hand.
Your hand? Where's it been?
Correct.
Where's it been, Philip? Philip! Where's your hand been,
Philip?
Borg Queen again.
Prime Minister, let me put your fears to rest. Richard will accept his father's crown.
Oh, she's great.
Right.
I like her. Yeah, actually, Richard. Here's a comparison. Here's actual Borg Queen.
I am the Borg.
I'm curious. Do you control the Borg Collective?
You imply a disparity where none exists. I am the collective.
No, wait, did you go in the middle of that, or was that in the clip?
That was me. I was responding to her comment.
Oh, I don't remember that in that scene where somebody in the background went.
Kind of like the scene in Star Wars where the stormtrooper hits his head. Said, no, wait, what happened?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's one of my favorite things to watch for. All right. Totally unfair.
It's totally unfair.
All right. Little British kid.
Totally.
Something about she's hot for the prince.
You are so smitten.
Look at you. You're blushing.
You're so smitten.
You are so smitten.
Rhymes with mitten. There's your Christmas connection.
Mitten. You also have to think that they just basically filmed that looking into an actual cameraman's camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like none of the interaction was like actual face to face. It was like, all right, just look at the camera and act like she just told you this.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It came off real weird. I didn't like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Where's the, I don't know what this is.
Where there's a tiara, there's dirt.
Oh.
Okay.
That's why you wear the tiara to cover up the dirt.
That's right.
It's a dirty tiara.
Yeah, I don't like it. Randy, you were, what were you going to say?
Like he's clearly playing a gay character. The movie also toyed with the idea of villain cousin Simon being gay. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell they sort of walked up to a line and you know, like he's even going so far as to attempting a sham marriage, right? Yeah. But they didn't really go for it.
Didn't like quite
they
left go all that. The way. Yeah, I kind of thought him and the other him and the friend might end up somehow together at the end. They'd come to Chicago and everybody would get together.
But. Well, it is funny how like they really hand wavied that the fact that this cousin who's still royalty got married and really nobody noticed. Like,
this cousin, by the way, is the next in line to the throne.
Right,
like. The movie doesn't really make that very clear. They make it seem like he's trying to steal something when actually he is legitimately next in line to the throne.
Yeah, and I thought they were right. Playing it earlier like he was a brother and he wasn't the old one, so therefore he was not next in line. And they never really – they kept kind of dancing around whether he was a nephew or not, and then they finally said it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, they talked about it. Yeah, they finally talked about it.
It was just weird how they did that.
Yeah.
Also,
I really thought there was going to be like a bigger twist. I mean, like you expect your twist to be like, okay, so this is going to be a soap opera twist. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, he's adopted, but it was actually his sister. It was actually the sister of the father.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's still the first in line. So this was all just a dance. That's what I was expecting. Instead we got,
well, the king hand waved and said, adopted child can now be king, but he's dead.
And while we're just calling out ridiculous tropes, the ability for a foreigner to come to the palace and find the documents in the first place, it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, we accidentally stashed her in the room where we keep the secret documents. Crap.
Between the mattress, huh? We thought nobody would ever find that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, though.
We'll talk later about that.
I got a couple of times I went to say, oh, man, come on.
Yeah, so the vetting process is non-existent at that palace. They don't have any.
Yeah.
Oh, and the thing they didn't do? You know what? I was saying yesterday there was no chick in the bucket. I changed my mind.
Don't you know it's dangerous to leave a bucket lying around?
I just figured it out. The person who would have ultimately been the actual tutor who was going to show up later never showed up.
2 weeks.
Right, 2 weeks.
It'd be 2 weeks. So we had 2 weeks.
Show up after the first of the year.
Okay, yeah,
I was doing all kinds of math, writing down, okay, 2 weeks. She's got 2 weeks to do it, and it's 18th now, and the Christmas is going to be here. And so, yeah.
Okay. So, all right. We're safe. Not checking the bucket. Damn it.
Yeah.
No, not checking the bucket.
That just seemed like a thing they were going to do where they were going to fool them the whole time until one day this lady shows up and she goes, well, I'm the new tutor. And they'd go, wait a minute.
That's part two. The tutor arrives.
Yeah.
My chick in the bucket in this movie.
And he falls in love with her.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
For me, it's the horse that throws her because that horse goes running off into the woods. And I just imagined for the rest of the movie, that horse is just running in the woods.
You mean the ugly utilitarian horse versus the fancy, nice haired horse, which is
amazing. Yeah.
Right.
Clydesdale thing. That guy.
The Yugo horse.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was I going to say about that? There's something I'm going to say about that horse. Shit. Oh, no, you said the horse that throws me sounded like a really bad James Bond title. The horse who throws me. Anyway.
The horse who threw me.
Here's
disappointing trivia, by the way, in this film. I was just looking at it. And one of the pieces of trivia was that they used Greeking on the newspaper headline that she looks at on her laptop before she flies off to Aldovia.
Yeah.
They used Greeking.
I don't know what that means.
Well, just that they used Greeking in the text, like. Not real words.
Ipso facto, whatever. You know, you always see that as holder text or whatever. Yeah.
I do want to add something in there, though, that says Mark Brandon, Jason McKinnon, and Edward Witzke were also considered for the role of just like three made up random sounding names.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was annoyed that when they showed up at the end there. And she's back working at her dad's restaurant wearing that hideous shirt. They come back and go, but the shirt's not the point. They get there and they're like, hey, and she says, who are those guys? And he goes, oh, those are our dates. And there's three dudes. Okay, great. One for the for the friend girl, one for the gay friend, and one for her.
Right.
Maybe we could be a little more specific about who's what, because I don't. You're not just going to go on a blind date and not know
Scott,
who the gay
you
one
didn't,
is.
You never got in that arrangement.
No.
I've been in that situation when I was dating. Where
I've never been
like,
in a three lady thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, you'd have like three friends, and they'd meet up with three more friends. You know, one of them is actually so. Usually, there's two people that are interested in each other, and then they bring along a couple other friends. And you just kind of show up and you're like, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
Which one did you ever have it where you had at least one gay couple in the mix? Because that would just throw me because I don't know who I'm supposed to like. You got to walk carefully there. You can't just walk out there and go, well, I assume you're the
gay
one.
I didn't say it was comfortable. I just said it happened.
we don't know if Amber has met their other dates before. She might know them like, oh, who's the third guy?
Oh, I thought she said, who are those three? I thought she said that. Maybe
I thought the I thought the dad said that.
Oh, maybe.
Did the dad say...
Did he?
I thought she said that.
Yeah.
I thought she did, but maybe I don't
remember. I can't remember. All I know is I was totally.
Don't throw snowballs at the window to get somebody's freaking attention.
Yeah. I had completely forgot about that weird couple relationship because I had already moved on to the prince shows up in his nice little outfit. And you know, he smells good. And she's been working all night with food. She stinks like a.
Yeah, she's like
a
burrito. A
restaurant. I'm like, gross.
Yeah.
She smells like food from about 10 different genres. Yep. 10 different
and Lord knows what he's making, right? He's probably making chili corn dogs or something weird.
Oh, at Rudy's? Hell yeah. Nothing there is like, you know, fancy. It's all garbage.
Try the veggie burger or have some champagne. Also, we have burritos. What would you like?
Yeah, what's like a bowl of curry? Here you go. Mm.
Yeah, I worked in a restaurant in high school. You never smelled good when you worked there. Nope. And you wouldn't shower wouldn't even make the full difference. I'd be at school the next day smelling like a burrito. It was the worst.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You can get your clothes stinky just going to the McDonald's drive-thru. Because they hand you the food and you put it in your car and it stinks up your clothes.
Yeah.
Just like that.
You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds good today and it shouldn't. Why does that sound good?
Because McRib is back, baby.
All right, here's that does not sound good. All right, what kind of, look what I found. So listen to her.
What kind of a deal?
Now listen to this.
What kind of a deal?
Uh-huh.
Can you play, there's probably no way to play it simultaneously.
There might be, hold on here. Let's see if I can, I can work this out. So let's go.
As soon as I heard that, I knew this clip was coming.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. So we're going to play these exact same time. Okay, so again, it's...
What kind of a deal?
And...
What kind of a deal?
Now here they are simultaneously.
What kind of a deal?
Ooh, weird.
Wow. Because
they have the same cadence. It's great. Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? I'm glad you said that because I didn't think to try that, to mix them. That's great.
That is awesome.
All right, well, good call. All right, something about heads exploding.
Is it hyperbole if I said this is so boring, my head might explode?
No, that's what it was. That's literally her saying her head might explode. Thanks for what? Thanks for the life lesson.
I think you need to stop worrying about what everybody thinks about you and who your father was. Figure out who you want to be.
Oh my gosh, dude. You sure it's not satire? Are we sure they don't know that they're saying this stuff like tongue in cheek? Like that's not.
I read that on a card that I can't tell you the company that made it because they're a competing franchise in Christmas movies.
Uh-huh. Yep. All right, here's this one.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right, I just thought that was weird. So blah, blah. looks like Christmas came early.
Looks like Christmas came early.
Okay. Oh,
wow. You should put that together with the thing from The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
The horse that threw me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The ending where
Pierce Brosnan
only came once a year.
Something like that.
Something about coming. All right, here's the people. Oh, do people really say this is what I wrote?
If any of the peerage wish to dispute Prince Richard's claim to the throne, speak now or forever stay silent.
Peerage?
Peerage.
Peerage, come on. He means peers, like anyone here, any of our peers. I get it, but no one says peerage.
Stop.
What?
Scott, you just don't understand. It's a very, very common term.
Never in my life has anyone ever said, does any of the peerage here have any...
That's what the three...
Because we don't
three
have...
Bears ate.
We don't have nobility here, Scott. I promise you. Very
There's
common
no
term.
Nobility on this podcast.
All right. Well, I'm not... Hey, look, if it offends a couple of British people, I'm okay with it. Or Aldovians or whatever.
Hot. My peerage is too cold.
Fake British people, that is.
I really think it's funny that my kid is listed on the peerage of England.
All right. Well, I would say this:
when they take a big ship, do the peerage sit in steerage?
It's kind of the opposite. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
They have the exact opposite.
I didn't expect you to deconstruct my statement. This angers me.
Yeah. Well, look. If any British people are mad at me, I'd say this to them.
Speak now or forever stay silent.
All right. That's your last
chance. Speak now or forever shut your mouth.
Yeah. Here's some drama.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't know who you are. I don't even know who I am.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
What's great is you get, like, while they're having this angry conversation on the stairs after this big reveal, this big event, you get a couple who came in late to the ball and to the whole, you know, the whole event, the Christmas event. Mm-hmm. We're walking up the stairs like, do, I wonder if we missed anything. Like right next to these two having this argument, one of whom is the prince. And they just like walk up silently right next to them like, wow, I wonder what they're serving tonight at the ball.
Yeah, it was full of moments like that. Yeah. It. All right, here's Ron, something about Ron's article.
Ron's article needs a polish.
Ooh, if you know what I mean.
What grossed Scott out the most? Yeah, right.
Polishing Ron's article. Yeah, I couldn't find anything gross in this movie, so that's as close as we get. There's only anything gross. It was just stupid, not gross. All right, here's something about after parties.
How about we check back later, maybe drag you out for after parties?
Okay.
Yeah, after parties.
How about not with that kind of, no, yeah. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't like it.
We're going to go ahead and get your date really, really drunk, and then he's going to fall all over you. How about that?
How about that? I've already got a boner. All right. Here's a blunt. Oh, no one says this ever, anyone, and I'm annoyed. Here it is. This is like, what's the ATM machine, which stands for automated teller machine. You know what I mean? When you don't need to put machine at the end.
Right.
Listen to this one.
Emily showed me your blog online.
She showed you your blog online?
Online.
You don't need to tell me where it was because blogs are inherently online, you dumbass. Well,
she printed out the 46 pages of your blog and presented it to me over breakfast on paper.
I mean, it was 2017. How are we supposed to know what a blog was?
Yeah, 2017. Blogs aren't well known in 2-3 years ago. Oh, my Lord. That's so bad.
Congratulations on your blog. This is totally a great career move for you.
I hate it.
Right?
So
you can totally make the same amount of money making your own blog as working at the Now magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just blogging about the prince.
Totally.
Here's this. It's the Frog Pants Checklist, Film Sack Checklist. Can't think here. The best place
to
hide
the Frog Pants.
Yeah, it could be. It's fine. The best place to hide your secret letters from this kind. Sorry, from the kind. What? King is what I meant. I wrote kind.
For the
best
king.
Place to hide your secret letters from the king in a room is a tree ornament. Check. Freaking
check.
Acorn bullshit. Possibly the greatest, most subtle satire ever. Possible. Check. The two main actors were babies when I was a senior in high school, and I really just like that check. Okay, moving on.
Nice.
Star Trek connections, they include one we've already mentioned, the Borg Queen, played by Alex Krieg, or Creature, how do you say her name? Krieg? Brandy, you said you have others? Who else is in this?
Yeah, I was fascinated. There's this guy named Andrew Drapkin, and he's credited as an editorial colorist on this movie and also on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I'm like, what does that mean? What is an editorial colorist? Like, edit? And I realized, this is a guy who makes sure that the movie poster looks right.
Oh.
And,
well,
and if you look at his credits, it's like really, really interesting. He's just done all these different things, including The Next Generation, which was a TV show. And I don't know that it needed posters, but I guess it had them. Yeah. Another name that stuck out to me is James Betteridge. This is a visual effects artist, and he's credited on Star Trek Into Darkness. And also for visual effects on Iron Man 3, Pacific Rim, The Wolverine, and A Christmas Prince. That's right. Those stunning visual effects that you noticed. Yeah.
He did the Wolverine, Prince. Which really should concern everyone because those were the cartoon claws. That was a bad time with the Wolverine.
Was it the Wolverine or was it first X-Men Origins?
The Wolverine is the one that this guy was in.
I thought.
Yeah, the Wolverine. That one's better.
Hold on. Is that the Japan one? Is that the one that goes to Japan? Is it?
That's the Japan one.
Never mind. That's a good one. You're right.
That's a good one. No cartoon claws in that.
It's not as good as that final one, but yeah, it was pretty good.
So I was trying to figure out what visual effects a movie like A Christmas Prince has. And then when you start actually thinking about it, it could be a lot. Like, mm-hmm. you have to have an artist go and add snow digitally where there isn't snow, mm-hmm. when your shot doesn't have enough snow. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there were probably shots where the flakes that you saw falling were digital, you know, visual added, right? Because, you know, like, generally when you go outside and film, you're not going to actually see the snowflakes falling.
Your big Romanian establishing shots of the little town, the little village, you've got to kind of block out anything distinguishing or recognizable from.
Plus, if you talk to visual effects people now, they'll tell you that it doesn't matter what job you take, they're all doing it. Like, they're bullet pock marks that show up in the side of a car in a purely action drama that's got nothing to do with any kind of science fiction or anything fantastical, but those shots are fake, or, you know, the bullet holes are fake, but you can make them look so realistic now, and that stuff adds so much.
Have to take the Ontario, California airport and put the word Aldovia International Airport on a big sign.
That's probably what he did. You probably,
He came home. It was a hard day at work. Baby, you wouldn't believe what happened to you today.
Look at this. He was visual effects artist on the film, the documentary Michael Jackson Searching for Neverland, which was that horrible documentary about abuse.
Martin Bashir one. Yeah.
I think he finally found it. I think that was.
But what do you think? Like, what effects are you doing there, man? Like, what are your visual effects on that documentary? I don't want to know.
I'm trying to make Michael Jackson look a little more human.
Maybe. I mean, that thing made him look like a freaking monster.
Wait, was that the Martin Bashir one? That was the one that had the two guys who were abused who came forward.
Yeah, I think that's the same one.
The Searching for Neverland one. No, those are two different ones. The Martin Bashir one was the interview one where Michael Jackson was still alive and took,
you know. It's more recent. You're totally right.
This is where I keep my special juice.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. This other one sounds like...
That's the one we saw just recently, which is the two guys who got abused came forward. And
this one here is not even about the negative side. It's more like Michael Jackson was a weird dude, but he sure had this cool place and everyone loved him. And it's okay. You're totally right. Okay. Well, anyway, Pacific Rim. That's another shitty movie. what else here? We got the. Was that it, Randy? Those are all our Star Trek connections. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, yeah, Owl's Creek.
There you go. Soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it a HASS, H-A-S, for Hallmark of shit. I mean, it was like straight out of
order. It has it indeed.
Yep, it absolutely has it. Also, we now roll into what we call the Twitter post. Yes, that's right. 280 characters is all you've got to work with. And we're going to start with Randy. Sum this film up.
Hey, Christmas Prince, nothing sexy happened in this movie. Nothing sexy at all. Not a single sexy thing ever happens in A Christmas Prince. Thank you.
In case you were hoping. Randy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're grateful.
Well, but there's a double entendre there, right? Because it's like, I'm actually glad that this movie didn't try to ever, just stay in your lane movie.
Yeah.
It did a good job. It did a good job.
It did. Now, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, it's me. A Christmas Prince, like a love poem riddled with gibberish that will eventually leave you feeling like there is for sure going to be a part two. Yep. That's it in a nutshell.
Yep.
Hanging on a Christmas tree.
I don't want to see
made either. By King Dick.
Oh, there you go.
In a nutshell. Well done, my friend.
Yeah, King Dick. Oh, he is King Dick, isn't he? It's King Dick.
He's King Dick. Dick. Yeah. King Dick. There was Big King Dick and Little King Dick.
Yeah. King Dick the second King Dick. Two dicks.
Right. King Dick number two.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
There's your six.
A Christmas Prince, a movie about a prince who takes the throne despite a real scandal about a fake birth certificate written a couple of years after a real president was facing a fake scandal around his real birth certificate.
Whoa. Ripped from previous headlines. Well done.
Ripped from 2017.
You had to be thinking about, like, that had to be... In her mind, the writer of this, fresh in her mind, that there was the whole birth certificate thing.
That birther business was,
you're right,
2015 through 17 ish kind of range was where it was
a little
hitting
earlier than that. It was
a little earlier
during his first term, wasn't it?
I was thinking 2012.
Maybe. Well, if that's when he started being a loudmouth about it, not the other one, the orange one. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
presidential politics. They can lick
it. My Twitter post. Don't need analyzer.
Yeah, we don't need analyzer. Right. Twitter post. What is this? What is this? All right, we got our alternatives. Yeah, it's my third
report
boob.
To the front.
Here we go. It's called. They almost called this a Christmas prick. Oh, okay. All right.
A Christmas
or
prick.
Aldovia hiring vetting process is broken. That almost happened. Emails. We got two of them this week because I just felt like it. It's mainly because one of them is just a really nice thing to say. But these come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. Please keep them coming. We got one from Dustin who says, Scott, Brian, and Randy, I cannot say thank you enough for what y'all do. I've been listening to not quite 350 episodes of FilmSack during two different two-week quarantines of COVID. Long story. Listening with my daughter and watching movies with her brought us closer together. She is looking forward to watching The Christmas Prince for your new episode. Thanks again, Dustin. Aww. I just thought that was a really nice email, and I hope your two quarantines were not miserable and that we brought you some comfort there.
There's an interesting little subject there, and that is, do you rate movies differently? Are you more accepting or less accepting of movies that you watch in quarantine during this pandemic where you just have more time for it? You know, like, are you more thankful for movies that for taking your time and entertaining you or not, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can never separate Tiger King from quarantine now. And because of that, not that I'd ever...
Tiger King is quarantine to Scott.
Kind of, but I would never want to watch it again. For a couple of reasons. One, why? I mean, there's no real reason to watch it again anyway. But secondly, it is really tied to that miserable first part of the quarantine to me.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, that's just like a bad memory, even though.
Yeah. Tiger King and Animal Crossing is just so, it is everything that happened in the first few months of the quarantine for me. And just.
I can go back to Animal Crossing, no problem now, but I had to take a break for a similar reason. It wasn't because I had had it with the game or anything. It's mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's part of it. I played it to death, but yeah, there is this feeling of like, oh yeah, you were my escape. You were my 100% go to thing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Dustin doesn't get sick of FilmSack in the same way, you know what
Absolutely
I mean?
Not.
Hopefully not. But Dustin, that was awesome. We also got one for here from John. I can't say his last name because I can't spell it or pronounce it, but also I probably shouldn't. So anyway, John wrote in. Hello, FilmSack crew, longtime listener, first time emailer. I love the content you guys put out week after week. I just wanted to drop you a quick line to let you know, unless you are already aware, that Cliffhanger is currently streaming on Hulu.
A what?
Yep. Hulu Bulu. He says, I know you've been looking forward to sacking that one for a while. Please keep up the great work. Take care and stay safe, John. Yeah, dude. That is on the list and has been for so.
It's also on Amazon Prime, Cliffhanger.
Whoa. Suddenly Cliffhanger is everywhere. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I've been thinking I'm going to look at both of them and see which one is better.
Yeah. Really better quality. Yeah.
I don't trust Amazon now.
It's like it popped in there and said, hey, why don't you watch me?
Yeah. I did. Did you watch The Abyss on Prime? It was 4x3. we should put that on the list. We got a few before we got to crank that out, but I think we should get on it before it goes away.
I'm confused right now because a bunch of these movies are on both Amazon Prime and Hulu, and I already had Expendables 3 on our upcoming list. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do we watch Cliffhanger and Expendables 3? I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
I know we haven't done
double feature.
I mean, hey, we've done weirder, right?
That was a real visceral reaction there.
Well. You never know what's going to happen. All right. Our next film is not a film. We're taking the holiday off, and because we are, we still wanted to give you some content. So on Christmas Day, you all will receive a watch-along episode from us, like we do sometimes, and this will be for the X-Files episode called How the Ghosts Stole Christmas, which I don't know. What season in episode
season
is that?
Six.
6-6. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Did it come out in 96? Because that'd make it 666.
2006, what
like
time?
The devil. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do. And I don't have any memory of this, so I'm actually really excited to just kind of figure out what the hell an X-File episode is about ghosts and Christmas and stuff. So we're doing that, and you'll get it next week on Christmas as a little gift from us. So we hope you enjoy it. And then after that, we're doing U.S. President Down. What's it called?
Air Force One.
We're doing Get Off My Plane.
Press this down. Yep. Somebody
check
help
it out. Harrison Ford's in the bathroom. Let's go.com. That's the movie. We're going to, I know it seems like we've seen it, everybody. We know we've felt that ourselves, but we've never done Air Force One. One of my favorite terrorism in the sky kind of movies. I'd love it. Love that movie. So very excited to see it. Dunaway's considering just remembering it from memory and not actually watching it because he's seen it 100 times.
So many times.
Yeah, but I love it. I haven't seen it in probably a few years, so time to get on it. That, again, will be the week after Christmas, which I suppose is New Year's weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that'd be New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Yeah. Let's see. We'll record.
We'll record the day after. It'll be New Year, the 2nd.
Yeah, it'll January be plus 21, so. 2021 plus 1 is what it'll be. We'll record
that. Like Kate plus 8.
Kate plus 8. And there you have it. 8 is not enough for Kate. Anyway, so we're going to do that. That'll be a thing, and we're looking forward to it. In the meantime, check us out on the web. We're at filmsack.com, and you can leave us emails, voicemails, all that stuff at filmsack@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at FilmSack, and you can leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. And just a big, hearty, happy, Merry Christmas to everybody. And sorry we made you watch The Christmas Prince. We really feel bad about that. Sorry about that.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. But for real, we hope you, you know, with how weird this year is, I hope Christmas is good for lots of folks everywhere. So good luck with that. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Prince.
We'll see you next time.
Wow. What kind of a deal?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
It's totally unfair.
All right.
You got two totally unfair.
Totally unfair.
Totally.